Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody break these chains wrapped around their heart. I don't want to leave it. I'm begging for mercy, Lord, to break these chains.
Mark, you're actually here.
That's pretty sweet.
Crazy. Shout out, as always, to our favorite group, Shaman's Harvest, sponsoring us. It's pretty sweet. And Jane,
I'm going to look into their music a little bit more.
Yeah, they got a nice little cover of Dirty Diana. Pretty good. Decent little bit.
All right, well, I'm checking it out.
Absolutely.
You sold me on it.
Done.
Welcome, go, everybody, man. After Raw Radio. Although, as of right now, it's current Raw Radio.
Because during the conversation, hashtag current Raw Radio.
We are having our show a little bit, I guess, before Raw, but no big deal. I am Mark Nesko with you, as always, and my good friend, Danny Bennett.
Yep.
We're here to talk about some wrestling. It's been a busy week, guys and gals, for those of us that are big fans. We had a pay-per-view on Saturday, harkening back to the olden days.
It was good.
WWE Roadblock.
Roadblock. Very good show. All
around. Feels like they're pulling out all the stops for WrestleMania this year, aren't they?
They really are. I mean, and I'm happy that they are because a lot of their big guys are injured. You know, Cena, Rollins.
They're breaking indoor attendance records. Little action on Saturday. Roadblock, step two. Try to further the storylines a little bit. Bringing out the big guns. Bringing out Triple H as your champion. Bringing out Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Bring it out, The Undertaker.
Undertaker never gets old. Like it never gets old seeing him.
I was going to say, physically, he does get old.
Physically, he looks old. I mean, he's not aging well.
He looks good. I mean, he posted, not him, but his wife, posted a picture of him working out on Instagram. And, I mean, it's baffling to me how this guy is still in the shape that he is in. And still able to perform at the level that he can perform at, and that he hasn't even remotely not been a team player with what WWE wants to do with him.
Right. You are correct.
I mean, I think he's the greatest of all time, period. In terms of in-ring performers, what he'll do, what he's willing to do, what he's done over the years, his storylines, I don't think anybody is better than The Undertaker. And that includes Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, you know, ECW favorites,
right?
Mine, Robbie, Booker T, Sting.
You could be right, sir.
I don't think I'm wrong. I would love, later on, if somebody listens to this, if they would call into the show and try to refute that The Undertaker is the single greatest performer of all time.
I would love if you guys would call in to 646-564-9866 and argue a little bit with Mark. That'd be great.
That would be fantastic. I think what we'll start doing is whenever we do the tweets, we'll start including the phone number in the tweets.
I agree.
So that way we can have people catch us a little bit easier. But right now, we're going to talk a little bit about Roadblock, as that was the setup to tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw. Danny, what were your thoughts? How did you feel about Roadblock as a whole?
As I text you, I don't know, you were in D.C. I said three matches really, really, really stood out to me. Ambrose and Triple H was absolutely phenomenal.
Absolutely. It was very good.
Enzo and Big Cass versus the Revival. Gold. And then Natalya wrestling for the first time in it seems like 18 years versus Charlotte was
many
absolute
moons.
Gold. I mean, it was crazy. All three of those matches were good, and that's not selling anything else short either. Even New Day versus for half of the League of Nations was a good match too. For what it seemed like was not supposed to be a pay-per-view event, if you will, turned out to be a hell of a show.
I concur on several levels. I was a fan of the tag team match, the League of Nations, New Day. It really feels like right now they want New Day to be faces. They're so over with the crowd in a way that most tag teams haven't been in the last, you know, 5-6 years, that right now them as heels is gold, them as faces can also be gold. And the League of Nations are a good catalyst to get them that heel or out of that heel territory. So right now, I'm a fan of what they did there. But the other tag match to me that I feel like stole the show in terms of bringing back the tag division was Enzo going up against Austin Dash.
Yes, that was a great match, and a
very strong performance from both teams.
It was, all four guys put on a hell of a show. I mean, it told a good story, had a lot of good back and forth action. It was kind of an NXT style of match. You know, NXT has a little bit of a different feel, but it also felt like a WWE match.
I think the crowd is so into Enzo and Cass already that the reception that they got was indicative of stars that have already been on WWE television and established.
And
they were
chanting
around
that.
You can't. And they were chanting with Enzo and Cass. They were doing Enzo's intro. And there's no substitute for that kind of crowd reaction. You're either over or you're not, like they say. And they are already over. So I really, really like bringing in another exceptional tag team. You know, the rumblings have been for a while that they're going to move up. They're going to be the next team that gets called up along with Carmella. Because she definitely, I feel like Bayley is the cornerstone. She's the mother hen in NXT. And she's shepherding some of these girls along to the main roster before she joins them. And I guarantee you're going to see Bayley at WrestleMania next year. I would not doubt it.
Oh, I absolutely. I'm wondering if we'll be here after WrestleMania this year.
I feel like Becky Lynch is going to eventually say, I need somebody to watch my back, and it's going to be Bayley. It doesn't feel like they're building towards Bayley losing the belt at any time soon. But Asuka definitely looks like the heir to the throne of Bayley. Just a hard nose, Japanese hard style wrestling. And I think that's one of the things that they're going to start honing in on a little bit deeper now, especially with Nakamura about to make his debut. I would love a stable
which will be
with Hideo Itami, Nakamura, and Asuka.
Yeah, that would be great.
I've been drinking. Charlotte and Natty, very good match. They gave those ladies about 15 minutes to go out there. I feel like Charlotte still has some work to do. She's the most gifted female in the division by a mile. I just feel like her mic work is so lacking. And I'm not a huge fan of Ric Flair as a manager. To me, he's more of an in-ring presence. But yeah, Natty put on a show. She's literally one of the best workers out there. And I think she's so criminally underused and underrated that it actually makes me feel bad to watch her in these matches, because she gets these, hometown pops when they go to Canada, puts on a hell of a match, and then they don't do anything else.
Can you even consider Natty as underused? She's not even used. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean,
I really don't.
Whenever Kid in Cesaro, if Kid, I should say, ever gets the opportunity to come back, she'll be out there a little bit more. But as of right now, it's just so criminally underrated. I feel like she's the foundation of that division. A lot of people talk about Paige, brought the Divas Revolution or the Bella Twins, I guess, for mainstream acceptance because of Total Divas and the Four Horsewomen. But I think Natty's just been there all along, very quietly doing the best job and never botching, always flawless, looks great, beautiful woman. I don't know. I wish that we got a little bit more out of that.
I mean, one thing that I was tweeting, I was talking back and forth with some fans on my personal account. And I said, as much as I love Charlotte and Sasha and Becky Lynch, Paige is still there. Naomi is still there. Tamina is still there. Natalia is still there. Give these other ladies some time. I get that you're trying to build these guys up.
Right now. That's what has me most. I mean, we love to see our favorites and the people we love to see compete in the ring go. But I think they're going with the hot hand right now. I think they know that the NXT women's division brought some of the most promising wrestlers in the Divas division out of the kind of the shadows and brought them into the limelight. The fans are so behind Sasha, it's ridiculous. It's She's the most over diva I've seen in forever. You know, Paige is extremely talented. Charlotte's great. Becky Lynch is over as all hell with the fans. I think they're just going – I think these women are going to be the ones that circle the wagon for the next couple of years because they're afraid if they take them away from the fans that they're going to lose that that momentum going forward. And it's going to go back to, you know, so-and-so versus Naomi for the belt. Naomi loses. And, you know, it's going to have that stagnation still. So I really want to see what they're going to do with it. But I do agree with you that giving these girls a challenge and not just having them, you know, have that inbreeding, that constant bickering between each other, is only going to do wonders for the division rather than letting it grow stale in the eyes of the fans.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
I talk about divas. I'm very passionate.
No, it's true. I mean, you and I have been talking about the divas for the longest time. We didn't want them to be a bathroom break or ice cream break for you. Like, we wanted them to be better than the knockouts, because the knockouts are put on a hell of a show.
It's true. It's quite unfortunate, but I think they're finally getting their footing. I think they're on the right track, and I'm very, very excited to see what's going to happen. I think Sasha is going to help steal the show for this WrestleMania. I think that it's going to be one of the most well-remembered Divas matches. You got three women that are absolute dead ringers for that could all hold the belt, and I can't wait to see what they're going to do with it. We got Brock Lesnar against the Wyatt family. It was Bray and Luke. This was a match you didn't see the purpose of. You felt like it was kind of, you know, like a goofball match. Does that make sense?
I felt the match was pretty pointless. And I held my thoughts and reservations on the match until the end of Roadblock to see where it went. I said, okay, well, that would make sense. So let's say that Ambrose beats Triple H. Now Ambrose is the champion. Total major swerve here. Now you have Ambrose versus Roman Reigns for the title, which then frees up Brock Lesnar. That would make sense for Bray Wyatt not being included in this match. But that didn't happen. And it's kind of like, well, to me, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Because, like, okay, are you going to continue to build Bray and Brock? Kind of, sort of. Like, they're going to have a little tiffy every 2 months. Like, I'm not following what they're trying to do. To me, it's not even a slow burn. It's just like, you know, they're still rubbing the sticks together.
I just feel like the time to pull the trigger on Strowman is so limited that you're either going to do it and it's going to be outrageous and it's going to create a WrestleMania moment. You could build a better beast right now if Braun Strowman goes into a match with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania and beats him. Eventually, you can have that become a reason for him to leave the family because, you know, he's beaten him, Bray might be jealous, blah, blah, blah. I think that eventually they're going to lose that window of opportunity if they don't do something with Braun Strowman. I think right now he's very believable as a monster that could take on Brock Lesnar. And if they decide to keep holding back on it, waiting and waiting and slow burning us, that it's only going to be something that down the line we're going to look at and say, oh, okay, well, I mean, this would have been cool 5 months ago, but I guess now it's kind of just, you know, it's happening out of nowhere. The build-up to it makes sense. You know, right now, WrestleMania needs to be the moment to pull the trigger on Braun Strowman.
Isn't that kind of what they did with Bray, though? I mean, they never really pulled the trigger on him.
I think that a lot of that has to do with who they want in those positions. I think Bray is so – like, Bray is a lot like, you know, they used to say The Undertaker. It didn't matter if he won a match or he lost a match. Not at WrestleMania's, obviously, but it just mattered that he was in the match. He transcends wins and losses. I think Bray has hit that level where if he were to go out and beat John Cena for the World Heavyweight Championship, people wouldn't be surprised. And if he loses, people wouldn't be surprised. They would say, oh, okay. Nobody would be like, oh my God, are you kidding? Bray Wyatt won a belt? No, are you serious? They would be like, oh, okay, about time Bray Wyatt won a belt. Or if he loses, they're going to say, yep, that's Bray Wyatt losing to John Cena again. there's no mystique in his character. But
that's sad.
I think with Braun Strowman, oh, sorry, go.
No, I'm just saying that's sad. I mean, look at where he was at WrestleMania 30. Hit the entire arena singing.
I mean, he could still have him singing. I just think that you need to liven up the Wyatt gimmick a little bit now. I think if Strowman goes in there and he beats Brock Lesnar, you have a beatdown on Strowman the next night on Raw, which is the hottest night. That's when everybody's watching. Kick him out of the family, something along those lines. Add a new member. Go a little wilder with the gimmick. It's either shit or get off the pot. Because right now, you can't reinvent Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt is the Undertaker. Bray Wyatt is Sting, you know, with the black and white face paint. What happened when they tried to reinvent Sting and put him in black and red? It failed miserably. Everybody hated it. You know, what happened with Booker T when you made him, like, what was it, G.I. Brother or something like that?
G.I. Bro.
Yeah, G.I. Bro. I mean, these are guys that their gimmicks are so good that there is no going back. That is the end of it. Mick Foley had a get-out-of-jail-free card with multiple personalities and, you know, all that craziness, and it was believable. When he was Dude Love, it was believable. When he was Cactus Jack, you could understand it. But whenever you look at where they're at now with the character of Bray Wyatt, there is no more going back. That is it. You are Bray Wyatt for the rest of your career until you retire. That's it. They're not going to repackage you, okay?
Right.
So now it's shit or get off the pot. It's pull the trigger on him as a fanatical cult leader, out of the Undertaker in the, you know, Ministry of Darkness. Have him just absolutely wrecking ball through the division. Give the guy a title. Put some form of gold on him. Let him win a tag team championship. Anything right now would be beyond over. So I think the onus is now on WWE to not squander the importance of a talent that they have that could transcend that barrier that The Undertaker or Mankind or Sting has.
But when do they
when
does Bray stop losing? And I totally agree with you on Strowman. But like when do they have Bray stop losing everything that he's in all the time? Like that to me is just crazy. Like if he's the it's not even like he was playing mind games with Brock Lesnar. He was standing on the stage and they kept showing him and he was looking scared. So it's not like he's sitting there playing mind games with Brock either. And you're like, well, I'm not really sure what exactly where they're going with it. Like we've been saying this forever. So you gotta push Bray. You gotta do something with Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt needs. He needs something. Give him something to do. Stop letting him push the guy. Let him win a match every now and then.
Like, not just a match. He has to win something big. He has to win an important match. It can't just be like beat so and so at a random pay per view, an Elimination Chamber or something like that. It has to be he puts down a big name star for high stakes, for big value, for the sake of his character going down the line. We all know that the Wyatt family is cool. Everybody loves them. But they need to stop being a stepping stone for other people because they're all monster heels and you can believe that they're all very, very good. They need to become a force that holds championships. I mean, a year and a half ago, if you put the tag team championships on Rowan and Harper and the heavyweight championship on Bray, you've legitimized them to the point of no return. They are that powerful. You know, that's when you can start doing what Cole always does. They're the most dominant faction in WWE, you know, blah, blah, blah. You can create this Frankenstein monster. But right now it feels like they're always in the middle and they're never, ever able to get past that second tier, despite being so over with the fans, despite being so believable, despite the Firefly gimmick thing, despite the singing, I just think that there's so much squandered opportunity with them. And it all has zero opportunity cost because you're already putting them out there every night. You're already giving them to the fans. You're already showing your hand with them. So just do something a little bit more inventive, and I think it pays dividends. That's just me.
It's correct. It really is. We were remember saying it, what, a year and a half, longer than that, like 2.5 years ago, put the tag team titles on Harper and Rowan. Harper and Rowan were the hottest tag team in the division.
Well, I thought it was going to happen when they came down to, what was it, when they wrestled the Usos at that pay-per-view. What's it called? Battleground. So the defunct one now.
Right.
So I definitely think that the opportunity was there, and if they would have taken it, it would have been huge. And the fans, it was the only, to me, it was the best match of the night, those two. The false finishes, the impressive ring work that they were all doing. I think now that they kind of understand where they went wrong with the Usos, now, the Usos are kind of jobbing it out a little bit. They're not winning nearly as much as they were before. The fans are over them. I think the fans understand that the New Day is sort of what you always wanted the Usos to be. Cocky, swagger, great on the mic, funny, interesting, great to watch, obviously. Believable, you got one of the best high flyers in the WWE. You got one of the best big strongmen in the WWE. They just have no weaknesses, and you got a mouthpiece, and they did work.
That's
so
true.
New Day's
a total package.
I think that's why they're turning them face. I mean, that's what happened on Raw tonight, especially against the League of Nations. But that's what their mission was to go in there, make sure they've got the face team on lockdown, and they did. And big fan.
And I'm fine with New Day being faces. I'm hoping they're going to be more of a tweener.
I think
cheating.
They will. I mean,
like Eddie Guerrero style, still cheating to win, to hang on to the titles and things like that. I'm really hoping that does not change. I don't see why it wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you never know at the end of the day.
So
stranger
we got a dose of Sami Zayn and the Zaniacs and what the future is going to look like for Sami Zayn. And I'm telling you, I think it looks bright. A lot of people didn't really care for the match, which I thought was strange. I guess because it was Stardust. But, this guy's had like a 12, 13-minute long match. Sami looked fantastic, put on, a hell of a good performance, and he's ready. I think Sami Zayn's ready to go over Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. I think you're going to see a championship belt on him, and I think you're going to bring that feud from Ring of Honor and NXT up to the main roster, and you're going to let those two just dazzle the crowd every night for months until we get to SummerSlam.
I really hope that's what happens. As you know, and you are too, we're both huge Kevin Owens fans, and I don't like how they build him as the typical runaway scared heel. I hate that they do that. Like, it's such a, all their heels are so cookie cutter. With the exception of how Triple H has been acting, but they're also cookie cutter. Like, oh, I got, I'm gonna steal the victory, then I'm gonna run away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the face to get like it's so. Throw something different. Kevin Owens would rather stand there and fight. He would. That's his character. That's the gimmick that he built coming up into. From Ring of Honor to NXT all the way until when he got called up. That was his character. Bullying, calling people out, calling John Cena out,
and winning.
Yeah, but then someone gets in his face. Now, all of a sudden, he's like, I'm kind of scared. Like, I don't like that.
They're trying to pull him in the typical heel direction, but I definitely think that he breaks the mold significantly more so than other people do.
He does. He does in the respect that he can – he still has the wherewithal for them to pull him away in that fashion – and still have that, and I hate using this word, but still have that swagger about him.
That
if that makes any sense.
No, he does. And I think him losing the belt would be good for him. You saw how vicious he went whenever he lost it the last time. I think that's what happens again, only it happens to Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn gets to go in as the constant underdog. Owens might take the belt from him in the same fashion that he did in NXT, just destroy him in a match. And just let those two go at it for a while. And I certainly think that the fans would love it. And I think that that's what they're building to. So I think Sami losing at WrestleMania would be the worst thing that could happen for him.
Unless
they give him like 20 minutes to go.
As long as, if he loses in Dean Ambrose at Roadblock fashion, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, speaking of which, let's talk about that real quick. I think everybody listening or anybody who watched the match, or anybody that hears this in, you know, it's recorded form, can agree that Dean Ambrose is ready. He is a primetime player, and he might be the most over face to come out of WWE in a very, very long time.
I would agree. I would with all of it. He gets more over by the week, which is crazy. I know some people like I argue with people from time to time, and they're like, oh, well, you know, his ring work is sloppy, blah, whatever. He's not a tactician. He's not a Dean Malenko. That's not his gimmick. That's not his style. That's not anything about Dean Ambrose.
Right.
So if you're gonna sit here and you're gonna compare Dean Ambrose to a technical wrestler, like what are you thinking?
Hey, all I'm saying is PWI had this guy in his top 15 last year.
Yeah.
That means in ring performance, that means his ability to talk on the mic, his presence, everything from top to bottom. If somebody tells me, oh, you know, Dean Ambrose is sloppy in the ring, I would tell them, you've never watched Jon Moxley matches. You've never watched him in NXT. You didn't watch him when he was in the Shield. You're probably just saying this right now because it doesn't make any sense. The guy is near flawless in almost every category. He even toned his body up, you know, whenever he joined the main roster. You know, he was always sort of like he was built for wrestling, not built for, you know, showmanship and flashiness and to be muscular and whatnot.
Yeah,
but
he was skinny fat.
Right. Right now, I'm telling you, he's on top of the world. People were throwing out phrases like Mick Foley, Stone Cold Steve Austin. They're talking about people who are just legends in regards to what they're able to do. And people honestly believe, and I'm one of them, that he is somebody, if you give the time to, if you make Roman the heel and you make Dean the face, you're going to spin gold out of straw. Eventually, you'll add Seth Rollins back into the mix. You'll have the Shield feuding with, or the former Shield rather, feuding with itself. And there's pay-per-view buy rates pouring out of your, you know, out of this feud. I just don't understand why we can't pull the trigger.
I can't wait for Seth Rollins to return. I really can't. I've actually...
underestimated. Remember when they bitch and say, oh, I'm so sick of this. Oh, Seth Rollins every week. I mean, I hated that he lost, what was it, 11 times on TV last year.
Right.
Which is a joke. But at the end of the day, now that he's gone, fans are like, oh, shoot. You know, don't know what you got till it's gone, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I remember nominating Seth Rollins as my Man Crush Monday plenty of times after some Shield matches on Raw.
I mean, he's unbelievable. The guy, like, you have so many possibilities with these guys. These are the three people you now need to start building your franchise around. You have Roman, who has to become a heel. He has to. But I'm not saying this because I'm a fan and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm a smart. I want Roman to be a heel. No, Roman Reigns exudes heel all day, every day.
He has a heel look about him.
He does. I mean, and The Rock had a look about him as a heel. That's why when Rocky Maivia came in, people were like, this is stupid. Like, right. this makes no sense for this character whatsoever.
Yep.
So whenever he turned heel, people were like, it's that release. You're like, oh, there it is. That's what I've been waiting for. You've got Dean as a heel, and you got Seth who can go either way.
Right.
It's perfection. These guys can carry your division for as long as you need them to. Start mixing in guys like Cesaro, who apparently when he gets back, he's going to be getting a big push. I'm ready. We're all ready.
Is he ready?
Ring of Honor matches live. Wow, the fans. Build a storyline. I don't know. Maybe I just want too much.
No, we're not asking for too much.
I really think he's ready. That match proves it.
It absolutely proved it to me 110%. If you had to ask me what was one single comb that I had for this match, that's what it was. That Dean Ambrose is ready to be your top guy.
We were talking. Some of my friends. I was in Washington D.C. Earlier on today, and I was talking to some of my friends who are also huge wrestling fans. And we all were talking, and we were saying, like, you know, we obviously WWE doesn't have the balls to pull the trigger on Roadblock. But, you know, part of me, when I was talking to them, I go, but I wish they would. Because now you're making it so pay-per-views are all must-watches. Like, everybody, you know, I'm sure there are people who didn't watch because they were like, ah, well, Ambrose is going to win tonight. Like, what? Who cares? You know, what if he wins? And then you're scrolling through your Facebook feed or your Twitter, and you're like, what do you mean Dean Ambrose is the World Heavyweight Champion? You feel like an idiot for not watching now. You're creating that who knows what's going to happen, going against the grain. The biggest complaint about Roadblock for me is there were no surprises. Nothing happened. No titles changed hands. No big revelations occurred. There wasn't anything that you didn't expect to happen.
Right. And that's – for me, I was actually kind of okay with that because of the quality of show it was overall. Always need to change for a title to change hands. It would have been nice. It would have been like you said. It would have been holy shit. Why did I miss this? The next time they have a show, I am not missing this. I'm going to be part of that. I don't care. I don't care what I got to do. I'm going to be watching it. So you take that aspect of it's no longer must see. To yeah, I'll watch.
Well, I'm hoping that we get there soon.
It's close. Because I feel that it's close.
I think that once, because the way that this is building, I feel like Shane has to win. I don't feel like there's any world where Shane doesn't win this match. Whether that's by bringing in a new star that helps him win the match, or bringing up someone from NXT, or something like that. You know, the possibilities are limitless. I have no idea. I don't even want to speculate on it because, you know, it's. I want to be surprised. I want to be a little kid and I want to enjoy it.
If I had to put money on it, I would be willing to bet that the Mean Street Posse will be involved in some way, shape, or form.
Spirit Squad coming back. Can't wait.
I don't think the Spirit Squad will be back. I do believe the Mean Street Posse will be there.
Damn. I think something's going to happen. And I think with Shane there, in terms of storyline, that means now you get to take more risks and make more chances. You get to basically, like, give your creative an opt-out. It's like, okay, this is what we've been doing all this time, but storyline says that Shane wins, and when Shane's saying that we're going to do this, we're taking the gloves off, you guys go nuts, have fun with it. You know, change things up a little bit. Here's the reset button. This is the end of the whatever era we're in right now, the PG era. You guys can have a little bit more creative freedom. I think that, you know, the fact that SmackDown is having last Thursday was the lowest rated SmackDown on USA. USA is giving up Thursday nights for SmackDown. If a show that they were previously running was earning, you know, a 2.1 or a 2.3 or a 1.8 or whatever, and SmackDown's bringing in like a 1.1, 1.3 or whatever, and it doesn't behoove USA to have that on the schedule, they're going to say, you know, we have to figure out something to do for this because it's killing our Thursday night.
Right.
So, I don't pretend to know the logistics of this. I'm not a television ratings expert, but whenever I read worst ratings for a SmackDown on Thursday nights, that is alarming. A button needs to get pressed, a reset button. And I think giving Shane McMahon that sort of, I guess, what do you call it? That power, I'm using air quotes, in the eyes of the fans, let them say, okay, we can take a little bit more chances now because storyline says that that's okay to get a little bit, you know, deeper into the, you know, into the water because Shane said, I want new talent. I want guys that haven't been getting shots to get chances. I want excitement. I want to, you guys are killing Raw. It's unwatchable because of you. Now we've got an out. We've got an opt out that we can use.
Mm-hmm.
Please, God, just do it. Please.
I hope so. Yeah. We'll see.
But yeah, Roadblock was fun. It was enjoyable. It was what it needed to be. And I'm excited going into WrestleMania because of it.
I'm very excited for WrestleMania. I can't wait. I thought at one point, I'm not going to lie, when I started thinking about all the injuries, oh crap, like this is kind of going to suck. You know, everybody's getting injured. We're missing Cena. Like, what's WrestleMania without John Cena?
That's yeah, crazy John when Cena, you think about it. Cesaro's going to be out. Randy Orton, so far as we know, is not going to be there either.
I mean, the only one who possibly could return would be Seth Rollins. But that's even a long shot at this point. Unless he comes back for, like, the Battle Royal.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. They haven't even been talking about the Battle Royal, really.
Yeah, they officially announced it on their Twitter today. So I'm assuming they'll talk about it on SmackDown. Or, I guess, Raw. I'm not sure.
Shit. If you want to make a star out of Strowman, you have him win the Battle Royal, and then you have him do something, you know, in that Brock Lesnar match. Get that guy over. Cram him down people's throats.
Why not? They've crammed Cena down our throats and Roman down our throats for such a long time. Why not?
Yeah, but you know, like,
cram a guy down our throats and build a star.
Even when they, you know, when they, the Shield broke up, if they weren't the excitement generating, you know, team that they were. You know, Dean Ambrose kind of got deregulated a little bit. Roman was just pissed, and Rollins ascended, obviously. I still like Roman Reigns. When people were like, oh, I hate him, I feel like he's being forced on us. I'm like, the guy's great. Like, I think he's the future. I think he's going to do this. You know, but I feel like he's already gotten stagnant and hasn't even – it's been a year. Like, I don't like feeling that way. When I like somebody, I like them. I want to see them do well. I want to see them utilize. I want to see them in the capacity that they are currently in excel. And whenever he was a face, I was like, I like it. I like having him as a monster face. I like having him as somebody that goes out there and kicks ass and – crowd gets behind and he appeals to kids and adults because he's a badass, but he just hasn't lived up to that. And it's not because his ring work isn't good. It's not because he blows up during a match, because he doesn't. It's just because the guy is a heel. It's a wolf in sheep's clothing. He needs to take this time to transcend the, you know, being a face and just become the heel he's been meant to be for years. And if he does a turn down the road in a year or two, people will be like, oh, that's cool. We've had heel Roman for the last few years. Now he's being, you know, the juggernaut again or whatever. But right now it's just like everything that you're reading about on the internet. You know, they talk so much like, oh, the internet has ruined wrestling excitement. And it hasn't, because all you have to do is just do the opposite of what the fans are expecting you to do. And they'll always be guessing.
Right. It's true. It's not hard to fool the internet, in my opinion. I mean, I've been wrong before, but and I think that's one thing that Triple H understands a lot more than Vince McMahon does, is understanding the internet fans and sometimes pandering to them, but a lot of times going against what they want. Because your typical average wrestling fan is a complainer, honestly. Right. Your typical average wrestling fan on the internet is a complainer. He bitches and moans. Triple H called it out perfectly in his promo tonight. You sit there with your friends and you bitch about everything. Yes, that's true. That's what they do. Like, I don't know. I actually had a conversation with Road Dogg actually this morning. We were talking about Roadblock, and he's like, man, he's like, I thought we put on a pretty solid show, and you got people on here that are, they're pissing and moaning about the show. And I said, you know, you're always going to get that. And he's like, I know. He's like, people just look for reasons to complain. And it's true. Like, why? Just be happy with what you have. It's fine to want more. We always want more. You always want something a little bit different. Yeah, that was great, but everybody's going to have those moments. But you have the internet crowd just sits there and complains about everything.
Well, they're the vocal minority. I mean, you know, if we were to say 90% of wrestling fans, they're either, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, they're probably, a lot of them are fives. They come and go. They watch for a few years and they stop watching, or they're kids and they grow out of it, or they're teenagers and they enjoy it, and then they start college and they kind of miss, you know, they lose it for a while. And, you know, they're the bulk of WWE's business, probably even more than 90%, you know. But then you get to the internet crowd. They're the ones that constantly are trolling Twitter and Facebook and complaining about this and complaining about that. And you know, whenever I talk about it, I don't like to offer complaints. I like to offer solutions. I like to talk about things like, hey, the crowd isn't getting behind Roman in the way that you would want. Does that mean that they're failing him? Does that mean that he's failing them? Does that mean that he is not supposed to be a face? Well, listen, I don't know. I don't get to look at merchandise sales and toy sales and, you know, I don't get to study kids as a demographic. So when I look at this, I think to myself, from my perspective, you're pushing a person as a face. He's going out there and they're not cheering him. Okay, what's not working? Whenever he goes savage and psychotically beats somebody down, what happens? Well, hey, sometimes the fans cheer. Okay, so is that the litmus test for if this guy was doing this every week to somebody, if he was cheating to win matches, if he was, you know, winning championships and holding championships for more than 5 minutes and obliterating his opponents and whatnot, and he was a heel, would they be booing him any worse than they're booing him now? Or would they be cheering him? I don't know. To me, it just doesn't make sense that you have this perfect, literally perfect prototypical star like you have with him, and you just don't take that big step.
Part of the thing that I look at when I see him is like, okay, so we've always said, okay, John Cena's got to be heel. We got to turn Cena heel. John Cena's at a point where he can't be heel. With all the publicity and all of the make-a-wishes and stuff, John Cena can't be heel. Roman Reigns is not to that level yet. Roman Reigns could be a bona fide heel.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the superstar cover of the Make-A-Wish Foundation and things like that. He could legitimately be a heel. Why? What do you have to lose? Yeah, if you turn John Cena heel, yeah, you know what? You're gonna lose a lot. You probably will. You're gonna get a lot of happy people that he finally turned heel, but you're gonna get a lot of angry people. You're gonna get a lot of angry little kids. Kids aren't gonna buy his shirts anymore. His merch is gonna be down. Little kids aren't gonna go to house shows anymore. Like, there's a lot of things that are gonna happen. Whereas with Roman Reigns, you don't know. People aren't taking their little kids to see Roman Reigns. They really aren't. Not yet. Will they in the future? Who knows? Maybe.
Yes. I mean, with tonight, for those of you that watched, you know, Triple H wrestled against Dolph Ziggler. They had a good match. It was great for both of them. Dolph Ziggler is now being painted as the underdog, waiting for Shane McMahon to take, you know, Reigns of Raw to reinvigorate his career. He went one-on-one with Triple H tonight, and it was a great match. The Triple H still got it. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if, you know, they talk about the shovel and all that bullshit. You know, it's whatever. Yeah, I don't care. Triple H looks great. His in-ring psychology is phenomenal. The way he works the crowd is phenomenal. The way he looks is phenomenal. I don't give a shit what anybody says. I'm sorry. And that's not like not wanting to hear other arguments about him not being good. Most of them usually boil down to, oh, he's not pushing the guy I want him to push, or he's burying talent. It's, you know, it's like the Big Show said whenever he was on the Stone Cold podcast, and they said, you know, people feel like you're not helping the young talents get over, and Big Show goes, I've won 7 matches in 3 years. Like, this is not me not helping talent get over. I'm not anybody held down. I'm not an old-timer keeping – you know, my foot over the throats of new talent. I've won 7 matches in 3 years.
Yep.
So that's what I feel like. Triple H, when you look at it from how many matches he's won in the last 5 years, or 3 years rather, sorry, he's probably won 10 matches. You know, he lost a couple of matches. He lost to The Undertaker a few times. He got his ass kicked by Daniel Bryan. He lost the Legacy match against, you know, against The Shield. Like, what were their names? I can't remember their friggin' names.
Evolution.
There we go. guys, I've been drinking all night. But
you're keeping it pretty clean for someone who's been drinking a lot, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I drank before I got on the flight. I drank on the flight. My wife made me a big ass drink when I got home. You know, I'm living the dream right now. But what it breaks down to, Roman comes out after the match. Doesn't come out from the crowd, comes out from the ramp, which is, you know, much different already. And he just beat down Triple H. It was a great beatdown, mind you. There's blood. Triple H took an ass beating like you're supposed to take an ass beating. Not, you know, not pointing to him as somebody who won't get other talents over, obviously. You don't take those kind of beatdowns when you're not trying to get somebody over. I think Triple H has tried to do more for Roman Reigns' career than anybody on the planet right now. But, you know, what happens? The beatdown's good, but the crowd's booing. They don't care.
The crowd is booing him out of the... His music hit, and the crowd booed him out of the building. That says a lot. It really does. You got to turn him heel. Maybe he turns heel at WrestleMania. Maybe Seth Rollins returns, and you know, and he's the... It doesn't matter if Seth Rollins comes back as a heel. It doesn't matter if it's in a stadium without a roof. The ceiling will explode when Seth Rollins returns.
It's got to happen. It's like we were just saying with Braun Strowman a little bit earlier. You got to do something. You got to shit or get off the pot. But, you know, I won't beat a dead horse. It was a good segment for them for the WrestleMania match. But I almost feel like what's going to happen is Roman is not going to win that belt. I almost feel like that's not going to happen.
That could be accurate.
I just don't know. Other than that, I thought Raw was a relatively strong card. The performances were good. I don't feel like much was done in the way of enforcing the storyline. There were some frivolous matches that have no WrestleMania impact whatsoever. There was, you know, the Usos versus Social Outcast, which was whatever. Sami Zayn versus The Miz was fine because they're trying to build Zayn. So I was fine with that. But then it was like Brie and Foxy against Team Bad. No WrestleMania implications whatsoever. So that was kind of a letdown. Ryback and Sin Cara, I guess they're going to do Ryback and Kalisto at WrestleMania. Ryback's back to being Rybully, it seems.
Yeah, I respect you, but I'm just much, much taller than you.
I'm not sure about all that. I'm really not. I'm not sure.
About Rybully again?
Yeah, I mean, like, they haven't cut the promo like, oh, I don't want to be a bully. Okay, well, don't be a bully. But I'm gonna be a bully again. Okay, so let's make up our minds.
Ryback is a bad guy. Sucks for his character. His fans love chanting "Feed me more."
Right.
They love that, it needs to come with some sort of like certificate of authenticity, like. This guy that we're chanting for, you know, we need to have something behind him. So, you know, I didn't feel like the Sin Cara matchup was that good. I mean, unless, you know, you've got like, you know, Kalisto, on the ring, and Ryback just does a savage beatdown of Sin Cara afterwards, and it just really sparks Kalisto wanting to fight Ryback next week, you know?
Right. What was up with Sin Cara raiding Fandango's wardrobe there? I thought that was kind of funny. Michael Cole's like, yeah, new look for Sin Cara tonight. I was like, yeah.
Well, he's got to start. I mean, I don't know if they're breaking up the Lucha Dragons very quietly because they've got such plans for Kalisto. But I kind of think it's going to happen. There's now with the New Day being a face tag team, you've got the Usos who are faces. You've got Enzo and Cass coming up, their faces. Who are your heels in the division now? You don't have any. I mean, the Ascension are an afterthought. They don't exist. Social Outcasts are a joke. They're not a threat. You won't let any of the Wyatts go out there and win a tag team championship. League of Nations has got a shelf life. Each of those guys is a bankable solo star. Barrett's leaving. Rusev could do something with Sheamus down the line, I guess, but Del Rio won't take this shit. I mean, his contract was not a long one. I think it was a year at most.
They
brought him in hot, and then they sucked the wind out of his sails already. They tagged him with Zeb Coulter, which sucked. It was terrible. and already tried to act like that never happened.
That was awful. I still to this day I still don't understand the reasoning why. Oh. Who am I?
But I do think that some good things came out tonight. I do think that the New Day against League of Nations was a home run. I liked the Stephanie promo.
Every promo by Stephanie is freaking ridiculous.
They are delightful.
Like, she is so good. It's insane.
I do think she's fantastic. I enjoyed the end segment that we're okay to talk about now.
Yes.
Undertaker clearly not backing Vince McMahon in any way. It's just he's wrestling who he's supposed to, like he always has. I like how Vince McMahon is playing it off, like, oh, he's my instrument of destruction. Trying to act like he's still in control, even though it's very clear that he has no control whatsoever over The Undertaker.
I like that.
Transcends heeldom.
He does.
Shane got hurt. Shane got chokeslammed. But it's good. We're setting the stage for something. I think over the next couple of weeks, Undertaker should just beat the shit out of Shane nonstop. And just set the ground rules for Shane that, like, yeah, you're going to need someone.
Yeah, why not? It hurts Undertaker pretty severely if Shane beats him without help, no?
Yeah. But at this point, I don't think anything can hurt Undertaker.
That's true. I mean
he's God.
I'm sorry.
In the world of wrestling fans, he is God.
Yeah, and it's true. And I don't think Undertaker cares about going over anymore.
Next year will probably be his last WrestleMania.
We've been saying that for about 8 years, though.
My God, he's unreal. I think my biggest disappointment of the night was how what they did with AJ Styles and Jericho. Last week, Jericho levied one hellacious beatdown on Styles, and then Styles does the forearm to Jericho tonight and just stands there and is like, guess what I just did? I forearmed him. And he poses. And I'm like, right. Please don't effing drop the ball with this guy. Like, just don't, please. He's so good. He's so bankable. He's a star all over the world. Just do it. Just buy the rights to the Bullet Club. Nobody owns it. You could be the Bullet Club in WWE. You don't just trademark that shit.
Right.
They don't own it. Just do it.
Just like the video.
You know?
Just like the Immigration Show.
Do it. I mean,
that
I would
totally
I can't
be
wait.
The awesomeness.
The only thing that scares me about bringing the Bullet Club in there is Finn, AJ, and Nakamura are beyond bankable in terms of single stars. So what do you do with all that, you know?
It's true.
There's, like, too much awesome. But when you start bringing in, you know, in terms of tag teaming, I think that that's definitely a huge answer to the the issue that we're having with the faces,
and right.
Kind of needing that heel presence, you know, with Anderson and Gallows. Like, we need those guys.
Really, we do.
We need them bad. We need them real bad.
When do you think? Do you think? Just thinking about this. Do you think Finn Balor, when he gets called up, do you think? I can't see them waiting that long. But do you think him and the Undertaker for Taker's last Mania?
I mean, if you want to get Finn over, but I don't think Undertaker losing 2 years in a row is feasible.
Yeah, it's...
I just don't. I mean, because he has to lose this year. Like, right? Like, I would be very, very surprised if he doesn't.
Yeah, I would say he has to.
I don't know.
He does. Like, it's good for business.
Right. We're all right. I just want the effing Bullet Club in here. Hold them now. I want Nakamura now. I'm getting pissed.
You sound pissed. Are you getting pissed or are you getting furtherly intoxicated?
No, I just like I'm ready for them now in the especially in the main roster. There's no like okay, League of Nations is a shitty stable. They're not good. Nobody's interested in them. I've never seen somebody fall as quickly as I've seen Sheamus go from world heavyweight champion with Money in the Bank winner, world heavyweight champion, to mid card all star. Barrett leaving, all that.
Right here.
They're not even. They're in beautiful Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, my hometown. You know, it's clear that stable has no longevity. New Day is not really a stable as much as they're like the Freebirds. You know, there's three of them. They employ the Freebird tag team rule. I wouldn't call them stable. When I see stables, I want to see like five or six guys. I want to see DX. I want to see Nation of Domination. I want to see, I guess the Four Horsemen too. Yeah. But I want to see tag team champions while somebody's holding the Intercontinental championship. Sorry. We need that. And what they're doing with AJ Styles is it just feels like going through the motions with Jericho. Jericho's a bad guy now. Styles wins at WrestleMania, but it doesn't get him over. I don't think it does anything better for his character.
No, it doesn't. And it's the same rehashing. And in my opinion, it's kind of Big Show versus Roman Reigns 18,000 times in a row. Like, it doesn't do anything. But like you know what I mean? Like, to me, I was just okay. That does nothing. Call me crazy.
If you do that again,
call me.
Sure,
I don't know.
Help the guy get over there. To me, though, I think the real winner tonight is this guy who won Roadblock, and I think that was Dean Ambrose. They're kind of painting it looks like maybe him and Lesnar at Mania. It's believable that Ambrose could beat him because he's just crazy enough to do it. So I think that's probably what I would like to close the show with, is just kind of getting your feeling on Dean Ambrose. You know, he got the nod from Mick Foley tonight. Bang, bang.
Ambrose is ready. I think they have built him up legitimately enough to where he could beat Brock Lesnar straight up in a street fight. I think that's what they've done over these last, it hasn't been very long, but in my opinion, that's what they've done. They've built Dean Ambrose up to where he can beat Brock Lesnar at this point and not hurt Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, like we were saying earlier, there are people that transcend winning and losing. Brock Lesnar is one of them, but him winning makes infinite more sense because it's hard to have the beast incarnate whenever he's losing occasionally. But still, at the end of the day, I think you just hit the nail on the head that they have built Ambrose to be the overcomer of odds, to be the guy who's crazy enough to do it. There's always that guy that you're like, you know, I don't think he can win, but you know, I know he'll die before he gives up. And they've now created that with Ambrose. And I think you could even have like, this could be his Bret Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin moment. Where he fights so hard, the fans are like, this is it. He's our guy now. You don't have a choice anymore. You either push him or we riot.
Yeah. He could be. And I think that's what needs to happen.
Please.
They've built him enough to where you're, holy crap, it needs to happen. It really does. And I'm for it. I really am.
Do we have any plugs that we have to do tonight before we leave?
We always have plugs.
Go ahead and do the plug before we tell our fans goodbye.
All right. So our good friend, Mr. Recklin Stevens, also known to you as Big Ezekiel Jackson of WWE. That's right. He has his wrestling school open. He had the official open house was on Saturday, the 12th, had a very good turnout. He actually did thank me, which was kind of cool. Go check him out. If you're in Southern California, go check him out. You know, follow him. Brickhouse Pro Wrestling School. Link is on our Facebook page, on our Twitter. It's all over the place. Go check it out. Friend of the show, friend of the family.
We appreciate you guys listening. So thanks for checking us out, guys and gals. And as always, don't forget to stay fanatics. We'll see you next time.